Okay, I want to start off this morning with an Afrikaans saying. And it says, wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. Who of you have heard it before? Wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. Who doesn't understand Afrikaans at all? Who don't know what I just said? Wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. What that means basically is, whatever the heart is full of, will flow out of the mouth. That's what it means. And it's actually so true if you think about it, because I think if you listen to someone, but really listen, you'll be able to see what's in their hearts. Because it's so easy for us, I think, if we meet people and you want people to think something, a certain way about you, anything like that, so you can talk a lot of things. But if you really listen to that person, you'll be able to see what's in that person's heart, what comes out. And we're supposed to be able to see what's in people's hearts, not judging them for the things that's there that shouldn't be there or anything like that. But I think it's important for us to try and look into people's hearts and see the good that's there. Because a lot of time, I think for a lot of people, what we do is it's like we close ourselves up. And we don't want people to come close. So it's like our hearts is like we're trying to hide it from people. But like I say, that saying is, what it says is, wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. So whatever is in the heart is that it will come out of the mouth as well. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at the words of Jesus. Now, to me, this sermon, if you think about it as we carry on, to me, it's really something that's quite intimate. If you go and look at the words of Jesus, the things that he said. And when I say that, I'm not just saying, okay, let's open up the Bible, let's read the Bible, but let's go and look at the words of Jesus. I mean, where I want to start off, for instance, is by going and see, okay, the first three times that he opened up his mouth, in the Bible, the first three times that he opened up his mouth and where he said something that was recorded and written down in the Bible, what did he say? Because if you think about it, it should be quite interesting to know, isn't it? I mean, we're talking about the Son of God that was in heaven, coming down from heaven to earth. The first three times he opened up his mouth and it was recorded for all of history. For all of us for today, what did he say? So what we're going to do is, that's literally what we're going to do today, is we're going into scripture like that. We're going to certain scriptures to say, okay, what did Jesus say here? What did he say there? And remember, wat die hart van vol is, loop die mond van oor. So whatever is in his heart will come out of his mouth. That's what came out of his mouth. So what we, to start off with that first three times that Jesus said something that was recorded, what I did is I went to the Gospels, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because, you see, that four books is the time Jesus was on earth. That four books was used basically to tell us everything that happened while he was on earth. And in some of our Bibles, the words of Jesus is in red. So if you go and look at that, at the Gospels, you can go and see, okay, so what's the first thing that was recorded that he said? What's the second thing that was recorded that he said? And the first scripture we want to go to is Luke 2, verse 49. Now, this is the place where Jesus, as a boy, went to Jerusalem with his parents. And while being in Jerusalem with his parents, to his parents it was like he was lost. Because they were walking and at some stage they realized, but he's not with us. He's not here. So according to them, he was lost. And they went back and they searched for him and they found him in the temple. And the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible that was written down is this, verse 49. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? The first words that was recorded of Jesus on earth was that words. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And if you think about it, the first thing he could have said about anything, that's the first thing he said. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? So it's with that words, it's like he's coming and it's like he's saying, listen, there's nowhere else I'm supposed to be. Why are you looking for me? Why are you running around worrying about me? Why are you searching for me? It's obvious where I'm supposed to be. It's in my Father's house. That's what he's saying there. So what we can see in the first time he opened up his mouth, we can already see his heart. His heart is for his Father. His heart is to be where his Father is. His heart is to be in the will of his Father. You see his heart the first time he opened up his mouth. Then we can go to the second time in Scripture that he says something. And this is the place where Jesus comes to John the Baptist. He's busy baptizing people in the Jordan River. And Jesus comes to him to be baptized. And John basically stood up and said, but listen, I can't baptize you. The second time in Scripture that Jesus opened up his mouth and it's recorded is Matthew 3, verse 15. But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He's not saying, listen, I need to be baptized or I want to be baptized. This is something I want to do, so please baptize me. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Whose righteousness? His Father's. You see what he's saying here? He's not saying, no, 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 you must do this because this is what I want. He's actually saying, this is what must happen because this is what my Father wants. This is my Father's will. So the first time he opened up his mouth, he said, it's obvious where I will be. It's my Father's house. I will be where he is. I will be in his presence. The second time he opened up his mouth, what he's saying is, I will do whatever is my Father's will. Again, his heart is pointing towards the Father. And then we come to the third place in Scripture where Jesus, where his words is recorded. And this is where he's in the desert. And it's just after he's been baptized, he went into the desert, he fasted for 40 days, and Satan came to him. And Satan said to him, but listen, you can just bow down in front of me, and if you bow down, I will change all these rocks into bread, and you can eat this bread. And that's the third time Jesus opened his mouth and his words is recorded in Scripture. And it's Matthew 4, verse 4. And he says, but he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the third time he opened up his mouth, what he's saying is, I can be without food, but I cannot be without my Father. I cannot be without my Father's words. And if we just stop there, and if we just think about this, his whole heart, his whole being is revealed in those three times. The first three times, he opened up his mouth. And it was recorded and written down for us to see. Because what we can see to him, it's all about the presence of his Father. It's all about being in the place where his Father is. It's all about doing what his Father wants, not what he wants. And thirdly, to him, it's all about that intimacy with the Father. Getting close to the Father, hearing the Father's voice. Go without food or anything else. So he'll give up everything as long as he does not have to give up the words of his Father. So what he's saying is, I'll give up everything, but I will not give up relationship or that intimacy with my Father. I will not give up that. That's what he's saying. Now, I think that really reveals his heart. And that's why I say to me this, if you go look at this sermon, to me it's quite intimate. Because it reveals the inner being of Jesus Christ, of the Son of God. And remember what I said in the beginning, but your hart van vol is, sal jou mond van oorloop. So whatever is in your heart will come out of your mouth. And that's what happened with Jesus. His love, his compassion for his Father was in his heart. That's all he was about. So every time he opened up his mouth, that's what overflowed. That's what came out of his mouth. Now, if you think about Jesus, the Son of God, coming down from heaven, becoming man, to live between us, what would his first sermon be? What would his first sermon be about? Because I remember when I got to a stage where I was preparing and I'm going to start, someone's going to taught me to do sermons and to preach and that kind of stuff. You know, the first thing that comes out is like you've got this message inside of you. It's like you've waited your whole life for this message to come out. So now you try and put this thing together for that message that God has put in your heart to come out, especially the first time. But with Jesus being sent to earth, God becoming man, can you just imagine what it must have been like to have that opportunity for the first time at the age of 30? To have that opportunity for the first time to open up his mouth and give his first sermon. Now remember with him, it wasn't a thing of he was preparing for that for 30 years to give his first sermon. Jesus, God, comes from all eternity. So for how long he was sitting with this thing, there's going to be one day where I'm going to be sent to earth. There's going to be one day where I will be able to, I almost want to say, I'm going to stand on a pulpit with a mic in my hand. And for the first time, give a sermon. Now, in the case of Jesus, it was on the hills, probably next to the Sea of Galilee. Not with the mics, I don't know. And the scripture says that he talked to thousands of people. So I don't know how they did that. I think, Reynolds, we guys can really learn something from them. But unfortunately, the Bible didn't give us all the references of how they used the sound and that kind of stuff. But all eternity, preparing a word to give his first sermon, the Son of God, Jesus. What will that sermon be? What will the first thing be that he will say when he gives his first sermon? And that sermon is in Matthew 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what he said. All eternity, he thought about that sentence. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the funny thing is, if we think about repent, I think what we hear is, okay, so it's that part where we confess our sins and where we turn and go in a different direction, right? I don't know if it's the same with you, but for me, when I heard this, Jesus saying, okay, repent, what I heard was actually him saying, okay, so confess your sins and turn in a different direction, go a different direction. But if you go look at the Greek, if you go look at this sentence in Greek, what it actually said, that word repent is metanoeo. And that means to think differently. To change your way of thinking. That is what that repent means. So what Jesus is saying is change your way of thinking. You need to think differently. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what he's saying is if you do not think differently, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven that's approaching will pass you by. That's what it says, directly translated from the Greek. Change your way of thinking or the kingdom of heaven will pass you by. Now, why all eternity is that message so important to Jesus? And the answer is simple. Look at his heart. What was his heart all about? It's all about his Father. It's all about intimacy with the Father. It's all about having a relationship
with the Father. It's all about being in the Father's presence. It's all about doing the will of the Father. It's all about hearing the Father's voice. And if you miss the kingdom of heaven, you're going to miss the Father. So the thing most important to him, his Father, and intimacy with the Father. What he's saying is, if we don't change our way of thinking, if we don't repent, we're not going to be able to have that. You won't be able to have a relationship with the Father. So in his first message, what he was actually saying is the thing that's most important in life to him is his Father and his presence, intimacy with him. You need to repent to get there. That's what he's saying. So Jesus is calling each of us to that place where he's saying to us, listen guys, you need to change your way of thinking. You need to start thinking differently to be able to get into his presence, to be able to get closer to him. Now also we can carry on and we can think, okay, but so what was the last words of Jesus on earth? Because we spoke now about the first three times that he opened up his mouth, that words that was recorded, what did he say? And what we clearly saw in that is just his heart, his compassion for the Father, to do his will, to do what his Father wants, to be in his presence, to be intimate with him, hearing his voice. The first thing that he preached was basically that we need to change our mindset, renew our minds, we need to think differently. Otherwise, we're going to miss the Father's presence. It's going to pass us by. But then also, I think a lot of times in the movies, a lot of times you see someone laying on his sick bed. And you know, okay, that person is like he's going to blow out his last breath now. In the movies, normally what happens, that person will reach out to someone and he will pull that person closer. And very softly and quietly, he will say something in his ear. And everyone in front of the TV is drawing close and like, what's he saying? Shh, what are you saying? Because it's his last words. It must be important. What will you say on your deathbed? If you know it's your last opportunity to say something to someone, what will you say? And he remembered to wash the car. Did you vacuum the floors? No? It will be what's most important to you. On your heart. It will probably be towards that person. It will probably reveal your heart for that person. And therefore I thought, okay, but so what's the last words of Jesus? When he was on earth, before he went to heaven, knowing, okay, I've been here for this season, and now I'm going. Yes, his spirit is still here. But he himself is going, and it's like the last time he's going to say something. What's he going to say? Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. I'm going to stop there. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. What he's saying is, guys, I've got all authority. God gave me all authority. And with that authority, I send you. That's what he's saying there. I've got all authority. And with that authority, I send you into this world. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. His last words on earth before he was sent up to heaven, before he went up to heaven, what he did is he told the disciples that was with him, guys, I've got all authority. And with that authority, I send you out into the world. Don't stay here. Don't think, okay, but we had a great time together. Everything was nice. Don't hang on to all the great times and tell people, no, it was really great while he was around, anything like that. He says, no, go. Go, therefore. Go into the world. Don't stay in this place. I give you the authority to go out into the world and to make disciples of all nations. What's a disciple? It's someone following Jesus and making disciples of others. That's a disciple. Because you see, a lot of times what we think is that a disciple is someone that is following Jesus, and we stop there. But a disciple is someone following Jesus and teaching others to be a disciple. That's a disciple. Because that's what Jesus did with his disciples. He taught them to follow him, but also to teach other people to follow him. And a lot of times it's like we stop this line at the wrong place. Because we stop it at the place where it's all about me, because I'm following Jesus and all about my relationship with him, but this is not going to continue. I'm not going to teach other peoples to be disciples. And if we look at the last words of Jesus, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So what he's doing is he's actually sending the disciples out. And it goes further, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Reminding us he will always be with us. How? By his Holy Spirit. He will always be with us. But why is it so important for him for us to go out into all nations? The answer is simple. Jesus was intimate with the Father. Jesus had a relationship with the Father. Jesus walked in the will of the Father. Jesus did whatever was the will of his Father. And he taught his disciples to do the same so that they can also become intimate with the Father. And the reason why he's sending them out is because he's saying, listen, I didn't die only for me. I didn't die only for you. I died for all the world. But for all the world to be able to experience that, you need to go out. Because if you don't go out, they will not experience intimacy with the Father. They will not know the will. If you don't teach them my commandments, they will not know the will of my Father. They will not be able to hear the voice of my Father. And it's like he was saying, guys, this is why you were created for, what you were created for. To have a relationship with the Father. This is all it's about. It's not about anything else. It's about hearing the Father's voice, doing his will, knowing his will, stepping into his presence. So in all of this, if we look at the words of Jesus, what do we see? As we see Jesus, his heart overflowing with love for his Father, seeking his Father's will. That's all he wanted to do, is his Father's will. The only place he wanted to be was where? In his Father's presence. That's all his life was about, nothing else. And then he came to a point where he says, okay, but this I want to share. I don't want to keep this for myself. I want to share this with the world. And that's why he went on the cross. To share that with the world. And you know, if you think about Jesus on the cross, A lot of times, if I think about the crucifixion, if I think about Jesus dying, the thing, I think for us, what we think about is, okay, Jesus gave his life. What's the biggest thing me and you can give? It's probably our life, okay? Why? Because that's what's most important to us. Do you agree? Our life? See, if someone asks you what's the biggest thing you can give away, you will say your life. The biggest thing for Jesus to give away wasn't his life. It was something else. And in everything we said, you're actually supposed to see that. Because what all he could speak about was his Father. The will of his Father. The voice of his Father. Nothing else. Jesus was never afraid to give away his life. He was afraid of stepping away from the Father. Jesus was afraid of getting into that place where he won't be able to hear his Father's voice. Jesus was afraid of being in that place where he will not experience his Father's presence. Why do I say that? His words on the cross. His words on the cross reveal his heart. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? That "why have you forsaken me" means, why are you not here? Why did you leave me alone? I don't mind dying. I came to earth to die. I don't mind dying for this world. But I don't want to step out of your presence. And what happened on the cross is, while Jesus was on the cross, God looked away. The Father looked away. And in that moment, Jesus experienced the thing that he feared the most. Being outside the presence of God. Jesus did not just give his life to you, for you. He gave away the presence of his Father. He gave away intimacy with his Father in an instance so that you can have it. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Because you see, for us, like I said, the most important thing we can give away is our life. But for him, there was something more. And he gave that away for me and for you. So that we can experience that intimacy with the Father. But that just reveals Jesus' heart for each of us. That reveals his heart for you. Sometimes we ask the question, yes, do he really love me? Does he really care? He did not only give away his life. He gave away that was so much more to him than just his life. Can I ask that the communion stuff that you can give that out, please? Matthew 27, I'm going to read this. In the meantime, Matthew 27 from verse 32, and this is the crucifixion. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. While they're giving out the communion, I want you to picture this, what I just read. This is Jesus, Son of God, or God becoming man, being hung on a cross. And the picture that God is giving us here, okay, I need your attention for this. If you look at the scripture, what you see is the picture of Jesus on the cross. Because this is what God wants us to see if we look at this picture. But if you see this picture of Jesus on the cross, you see three crosses. You don't see one cross. So this day could have been all about Jesus. And it is all about Jesus. Don't get me wrong. Okay? It could have been all about Jesus. Trying to say there could have been one cross that day on that hill. Jesus dying, Jesus standing up 3 days later. But that's not the picture that God gave us here in the scripture. The picture God gave us was three crosses. Jesus being the center of it all. Jesus being in the middle, on the middle cross. But there's two more crosses. On that two crosses, you've got two robbers. One on his left, one on his right. So may I say that might sound funny saying it this way, but that moment of glory, that moment in which all mankind was freed, Jesus did not have that all by himself. He shared that moment with two robbers. One on a cross on his left, one on a cross on his right. You see that? While being there, Jesus did not think only about himself. Jesus did not hang there saying, okay, but Lord, this is for all the world and all that kind of stuff. The one robber started to talk to him. And in the beginning, both of them were saying negative things towards Jesus. You being the Son of God, why don't you get off that cross? But the one repented. The one changed his way of thinking on the cross. And in that moment, Jesus saved him. So on that cross, on that day, three crosses, Jesus being the center of it all, in the middle, but two robbers next to him, one on his left, one on his right. Almost want to say, not deserving to be in his presence. But they were there. Jesus shared that moment with those two people. One repented and went to eternity with him. The other one did not. And the kingdom of heaven passed him by. That picture there on the cross is the picture that we're living in every day. Jesus being the center of everything all around us. But me and you, not deserving to be in his presence, making a choice whether we're going to repent and share heaven with him or refuse and miss all eternity in his presence. That's what happened that day there on that cross, on that three crosses. I want to ask you to take this bread. Now this resembles the body of Jesus Christ. And as you eat this bread this morning, I want to remind you that Jesus did not only give away his life. He gave away his, the most intimate thing that he had. That's the presence of the Father. Although even for a moment, he gave away that. So that you can experience it. So while eating that, remind yourself this is what he paid for. And secondly, with his blood, what he did is he bought our freedom. If his blood was not shed, it would not have been possible for any of us to know the will of the Father. It would not have been possible for any of us to step into the Father's presence. It would not have been possible for any of us to hear the Father's voice. See, God did not call us to a place where we must just go to church and that kind of stuff. God actually called us to a place of knowing the Father, of hearing his voice, of having a relationship with him like he had. Like Jesus had. That's what he died for. That's why he gave the presence of his Father up in that moment, so that you can experience that. And my question to you this morning is, do you experience that? Because if you don't experience that, then you're missing out. Because God didn't give up his life and the presence of his Father for us to be religious. He gave it up for us to be in his Father's presence, to have a relationship. So therefore, while drinking this grape juice, Jesus, we just want to thank you for the price that you've paid for us. Thank you, Father, that we can realize that the price that Jesus paid for us, it wasn't only his life that gave away, but he stepped out of your presence. He stepped into a place of feeling alone, not experiencing you around him. That's why he said, "Why did you leave me, Father?" Because he couldn't experience you in that moment. And Jesus gave that up for us. And we want to thank you for that, Jesus, for what you did for each of us. So therefore, we take this communion in remembrance of you this morning, in Jesus' name. Do you know the Father's presence? Is there any one of you this morning that's here that feels, I don't know his presence? I know about going to church, so sometimes I go to church, I do these things because I believe this is what is expected from me. This is what a Christian do. Christians go to church. Christians go to cell groups and that kind of stuff, and this is why I do this. Because if that is why you do it, then you're missing out. Because there's more than that. Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died so that you can hear the Father's voice, so that his Spirit can live inside of you. That's why he died. So my question to you this morning is his Spirit living inside of you? Are you able to hear his voice? Do you have an intimate relationship with the Father like Jesus did? Because if you don't, then I would really like to pray with you this morning to be able to get into that place where you can repent, meaning change your way of thinking, so that you can hear his voice. So I just want to ask afterwards, after I've prayed now, that if that's you, please come to the front. I would like to pray with you so that you can experience that intimacy with the Father. But also, if there's anyone else that wants prayer for anything, you're more than welcome to come to the front. Thank you, Father, that we can know, Lord, that you called us to a place of intimacy with you. Thank you, Father, that a price was paid for each of us so that we can have that intimacy with you. Father, we just want to glorify you for who you are. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that today we can stand here and we can proclaim, yes, he was crucified. But also we can proclaim that he has risen. He's not in that grave anymore. He stood up out of that grave. Thank you, Father, that same Spirit that rose him from the dead lives inside of us today. Thank you, Father, that we can know that we can step into this world with all authority, because it's been given to us through Jesus, that we can step into this world and make a difference. Step into this world and share you with other people, so that they can also experience intimacy with you. Thank you, Father, for calling us to a place such as this. And Father, my prayer is, as we go out of this building today, Lord, that we will glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.